Yona, thank you. Everything's beautiful. Shkoyach. All right, so let's begin. So we're going to do a beautiful piece by Rabbi Nachman today. So remember, again, in these parshios of the Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakel, Pehudeh. So remember, again, all of these are the parshios. All these are the parshios of the Mishkan. So what the Rebbe points out over here, so the Rebbe has an incredible amount of Torah in general on these parshios. In general, in Hasidic literature, there's much written about the symbolisms of all the different parts and all the different aspects of the Mishkan. But what I want to draw your attention to specifically is the Rebbe's commentary taken from the Kuti Halachis on the Zav, the Kesef, and the Choshes. Remember again, the Torah goes out of its way to detail everything that was collected for the Mishkan. Right? Besides all of the dimensions, the Torah goes into great detail, we're told all of the materials. So there's Zav, there's gold, there's Kesef, there's silver, there's Nechoshes, there's copper, all the different fine wools, Tcheles, Argamon, everything like that. So the obvious shaila is why. Meaning the Torah could have just, they collect a lot of stuff. Remember again, in general, the shaila, I've said this many times in different shiurim in this week, focused on the parasha, which is the general shaila in these parashios, is why all the specificity. Remember again, we had a Mishkan once upon a time, thousands of years ago. We're never going to have a Mishkan again. We're never going to replicate that structure. In Meretz Hashem, here Rabbi Amin, we'll have a bayish, we should have a third Beis HaMikdash, but it's not like the pshat that while the Beis HaMikdash is under construction, we're going to reconstruct the Mishkan. Mishkan is done. It served us for 40 years in the desert, served us for 300 plus years in Shiloh, and then in Gilgal, but that's it. That's the end of the... So obviously, if the Torah Kedosha goes out of its way to record all of these details, it must be why? It must be because there is some additional lesson contained within these psukim. So also, I want to share with you a very beautiful piece. So take a look at paragraph A. Rabbi Nachman really advances here something dramatically wonderful. Acher Maisa Egel, Nitztava Melechas HaMishkan. So the first thing that Rabbi points out is, remember, proximity is everything. Even though we paskin like Rashi, that Ein Muktam U'Mu'uchar BaTorah, which means the Torah does not follow a chronological order. So for example, even though again the parshios of the Mishkan occur before the Chet HaEgel, the sin, the golden calf, and the Torah, in fact, again, Rashi HaKadosh understands that in reality, the sin of the golden calf occurred first, and the Mishkan occurred afterwards. The Mishkan was the response, ultimately, again, to the Chet HaEgel. So the Rebbe goes on, Acharei Maisa Egel, Nistavu Melechas HaMishkan. After we built the Egel, we were commanded regarding the Mishkan. Ki HaMishkan Hu Bechinas HaKedusha Gavoah. Because what is the Mishkan? So they will say, we know that the Mishkan is something very big, right? The Mishkan is what the Rebbe calls Kedusha HaGavoah. Now, this is quite amazing. Because they will say, we often think that what's a Mishkan? So a Mishkan is, It's Mamish get to the front of the class. This is what happens. Watch, he's going to show up from now on time. He's never again going to call like that after being pushed to the front. So, Yona, there's room over here on the other side. Dobby's a very small guy. He has plenty of room over here. So, what's interesting is as follows. The Rebbe's reference over here to the Mishkan being what he calls Kedusha HaGavoah, the highest level of Kedusha. So we'll say, so this is an interesting name for this structure. Remember again, when we think about a Mishkan, what do we think about? How would you describe the Mishkan?
Temporary.
Essentially, it's a stopgap, right? We need to get to Eretz Yisrael. We need to build the Beis HaMikdash. We can't build the Beis HaMikdash, obviously, in the middle of the desert. So you build the next best thing, right? It's like your pop-up temple, right? You can go ahead and mobile. You can put it up.
Mobile,
right? But I would never use these words to describe it. Bechinas HaKedusha HaGavoah. The highest level of Kedusha just doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't seem to fit. And in fact, when you look at the classical Mefarshim, you will find that ultimately, again, they don't normally use that verbiage. So what's the pshat, right? So why is it called Kedusha Gavoah? So watch this. Bechinas Ayeh. So the Rebbe says it's what we call Bechinas Ayeh. The Rebbe says, now in Chassidus, so Ayeh means Ayeh Mekom Kivodo. It refers to the concept that man is always seeking the Ribono Shel Olam. where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ayei Mekom Kivodo. But I will say, as we're going to see in just a little bit, Ayei really means two different things. There's Ayei, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And sometimes that's asked as an interrogative. Where is God? I can't find God. And sometimes it's Ayei Mekom Kivodo, it's a declarative statement. Kosher. It's ultimately a declarative statement. Ayim ekom kivodo. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And of course, it's almost like a rhetorical question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. So it's almost like the avodah of the Jew is to get from Aye to Aye. Right? Aye, right? Only we could talk like this, right? There was only, right? Ayim ekom kivodo. God, I can't find you anywhere. To the realization, Ayim ekom kivodo. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And of course, again, the rhetorical question is answered by saying,
Where isn't he?
The emotional, so we'll say, isn't that amazing? You find this word, Rabbi Nachman speaks about this a lot, and he often just writes the shorthand, Aye. Right? The kinds of Aye. Aye Mekom Kivoldo. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And then, of course, Aye Mekom Kivoldo. Where isn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Rosh Hashanah is everywhere. So the Rabbi says something amazing. He says, Ki HaMishkan Hu B'chinas HaKadosh HaGavoah. Bechinas aye, shezochin limso ayedeh habakasha vahachipus shemechapsin umevakshim beis sherechokim min hakedusha vaholchin na vinad umetulto. See, Rabbi say we know that the Iker Avod and Ruchnios is what. The Ribon Shalom is everywhere. We know that, but yet we live so much of our lives in the state of aye mekom kivodo. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you, and I can't find you. And says the Rebbe, the job of the Jew is to constantly seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The job of the Jew is to be the wanderer, the spiritual wanderer, constantly seeking out the divine. Where he's able to say, sometimes we think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when we don't feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's like a chisaron, there's something deficient or missing in me. What we don't realize is that is part and parcel of the human condition. The human condition is sometimes I feel close to God and sometimes I can't find Him. I am a kom kivodo. And at that moment when I can't find Him, what's my avoda? What's my avoda? My avoda is look, go out and look. And sometimes, Rav Soloveitchik, see what I said, the beauty of our Torahs, so we're going to discuss Rabbi Nachman, discuss Rabbi Soloveitchik, and the amazing part is they say something very similar. The Rav phrases it in much more intellectual terms, but the Rav explains that sometimes the dynamic of God is that every step closer we take towards Him, He takes a step away from us. But understand why that happens. He takes a step away from us not because He doesn't want us, not because He doesn't love us, but what is He inviting us to do?
Keep
wandering. Wander. Search for me. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the more I search for Him, the more that thirst and desire to find Him grows. Right? It's almost like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He dangles the relationship in front of me, and right when I feel like I'm close to God, He pulls back a little bit. So sometimes we make the mistake that in those moments of divine pullback, we stop looking. You know what I'm saying? Like Lahavdi, you know what it's like? It's mamish just like marriage. It's just like marriage, right? And by the way, the Rambam describes, he says, what does it mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He says, to love God means the way that a man loves a woman. Is Jesus love? What does that mean? So he says, sometimes it happens, I'm sure not to anyone here, maybe you have a friend, right? Sometimes it happens that a husband does something, a wife is upset about something, right? So in like the normal course of events, so what should happen? Right? If things are normal, it's good. Tell me what's wrong. Tell me what's wrong, and I'll fix it. So we know what happens more often than not.
I can tell you what's wrong.
Good. Okay. You don't have to say it. That's all right. Good. What is I have no idea what's wrong. I know something's wrong. How do I know something's wrong? Because my wife pulled back. I know something's up. I know something's wrong. You're not telling me what's wrong, but instead you're pulling back. So, of course, the reflexive reaction and mistake that many of us make is just, come on, tell me you're ready, which is a bad idea. Instead, what does the wife want? Run after me. Run after me. If you want me, if you want to find me, come and search me out. Because the more you're going to come to search me out, the more it shows me that you love me. No. I'm not just going to tell you what's wrong. You're going to come, you're going to try to find me. And then, when I see that you're pursuing me, when I see that you're running after me, when I see that you have a sincere interest to try to fix this, then I'll tell you what's wrong. It's like Lahavdil. That's very much what happens with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribbono Shel Olam realizes that the beauty of the relationship really unfolds when you search God out. You see, finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu at your doorstep, and there are moments like that. There are moments where God comes to us, and those moments are beautiful. They both say, but you know, in those moments of inspiration where God comes to you, it's easy come, easy go. Right? The inspiration comes and goes. In those moments where God pulls back and I run after Him and I follow Him and I track Him down, I'm looking for you. When you find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that moment, Rabbi Osai, it is the greatest moment of spiritual intimacy. It is the greatest moment of spiritual connection. So it says the Rebbe something amazing. Ki ha-mishkan lo hayu lo, paragraph B, kviyas makom. So Rabbi Osai, isn't this interesting? The Mishkan had no specific location. Right? By the way, the Rebbe is going to make a startling observation. He's going to say it. You're going to say, oh wow, that's very obvious. But after he says it. So the Mishkan has no kviyas makom. In other words, right? There's no set place for the Mishkan. Va'az haisa kiviyachol, b'chinas hakidusha mitul teles. So what's the makom of the Mishkan? There is no makom of the Mishkan. There's no address. There's no location. One day it's here. One day it's here. The next day it's somewhere else. V'lo noda aye mekom kivodo. And again, on any given day, you don't know where the Mishkan is going to be. Rak b'makom asher yishkam sham ha'anon, sham yachanu b'nei Yisrael. Wherever the anon stops, right? Wherever the cloud stops, that's where cloudy soul will camp. V'yesh asher yiyesh sham ha'anon v'chulei. And there are some times where the cloud would stand still for prolonged periods of time. Right? There was stands of bronze. So again, to be clear, the Jews not there are times when the honest we'll bring it back to the Nimshal in just a moment. Kilomali lochati Yisrael. Because watch this, Rabbi Osai. Had Klal Yisrael not sinned, had we not sinned, hayu nichnasin li Eretz Yisrael miyad, we would have entered into Eretz Yisrael immediately. Shesham iker kviyas makom kiddushah. So paragraph C. Because Eretz Yisrael, of course, is the fixed place in kiddushah. Right, the Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Osai, has an address. The Beis Hamikdash does not move. It's not mutotol and meduldol. V'shom ikar hisgalus kivod yisbarach. And in that fixed address, that is the primary location, or that is the primary manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kisham kol ha'asara kidushos shem v'chinas asara ma'amaros shebohem bara olam b'shul kivod yisbarach. And again, without getting into Rabbi Osai, he says there, in Eretz Yisrael, there are 10 levels of Kiddusha. 10 levels of Kiddusha which are directly related to the Asara Ma'amaros, the 10 utterances through which God created the world. Ach, ayidei shechatu be'egel sh'avod zara, shumukomo sametunafim. But Rabbi Osai, what happens? We worship the eagle. We worship the golden calf. It was a sin, says Rabbi Nachman, of avod zara, of idolatry. V'noflu ma'od v'nisrachaku mechvod yisparach ma'od. And as a result, we distanced ourselves from God. So we'll say, so watch this. What was the Chet HaEgel? What was the real essence of the sin of the golden calf? The primary fallout was not idolatry. We'll say, how do we know the primary fallout wasn't idolatry? How do we know that? Because the Jews were worshipping idolatry beforehand. Right? You know, again, the Medrash tells us that they took idols with them through the Red Sea. Right? They were worshipping idolatry beforehand. So what was the ikar chet of chet ha'ego? What was the trespass? Shabbos said, the chet at that moment of Matan Torah Sinaitic revelation, there was an incredible closeness. By going ahead and turning our attention from God and turning it to the golden calf, what we did is we distanced ourselves from God. As a result, what happens? Al Kain, Shabbos said, when you distance yourself from God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you created the distance. Now what? We'll say, what's the tikkun? The tikkun is, find me. Find me. finally, you created the problem, you retreated, as a result, I retreated, the tikkun is, come and find me. So we'll say, how do you find HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Paragraph D, Al Kain, Haya tikkunam al yedei bechina haniskar la'el. Therefore, says Rebbe, the tikkun was through what we described above, i.e. the Mishkan. Al yedei bechinas ayei. So we'll say, isn't this incredible? So what was the Mishkan? Right? The Mishkan was the mobile house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishkan was the vehicle through which the Jew travels. And where is the Jew traveling? What is the Jew looking for? Where are you going? I'm looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishkan represented our ability to harness all of our spirituality and seek out God, and follow after God, and travel after God. He says, "Shumakomos b'rabikinas malachas haMishkan sheTziva Hashem Yisparach sheYivnu Mishkan miKasev v'Zav." So the Rebbe then goes on afterwards. He explains the rest of this. We don't really have to. He gets into the Kesef and the Zav after the Zav. So we don't have to get into that. We're focusing on this first part. So to me, this was incredibly dramatic. Because the Rebbe is telling us three incredibly profound ideas. So number one, he's teaching us a mission in life. But we'll say, at the end of the day, don't we all want to know what our mission is? So the Rebbe says, although we have differentiated individual missions, the cloviest digger mission of our people is Aye Makom Kivodo. Ribon Shalom, there are many times in life where I feel like you are not with me. I don't know where you are. So sometimes I will say, people resign themselves to that. They say, okay, I don't know where God is, that's it. My job is to turn the Aye to the Aye. Right? To say, where are you? To, of course, you're everywhere. Where are you not? And the only way, of course, to be able to do that is how? To seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu out. If you want God in your life, you have to go out and find Him. If you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life, you have to go out and search Him out. He is not going to show up at your doorstep. He is not just going to appear. If you want Him, you have to find Him. And what mitzvah, what concept epitomizes this idea? Says the Rebbe, that's the Mishkan. The Mishkan represents taking your spiritual edifice, taking your life, taking the ruchnius construct of your existence, and what? Collapsing it, putting it on your back, and going out to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And where are you going to find God? Sometimes it's difficult to know. That journey has many different stops. That journey has many different way stations. And of course, you know what the Rebbe says? He says something amazing. He says, you know, the makom of the Mishkan, he points out a little bit later on, it's such a fascinating observation. But say, imagine for a moment that the Mishkan, you know, stands in place, location A. You fold it up, you pack it up, you move the next day to location B. What's the status of location A? Garnished, right? It's just a regular place. Like there's no kiddushas hamakom. Right? Harsinai is the paradigmatic example of that. No residual kiddusha in that place. Why, Rabbi Osei? Because this is an incredible idea. Yet we know. I want to point out there are places which do have residual kiddusha. Eretz Yisrael. I'm sorry, Harabayis. Right? There are places which have residual kiddusha. But the idea is when I'm journeying and looking for God, never get attached to any one place or any one thing. Because it's not about the makom, it's about the journey. It's about, are you willing to be brave enough to pack yourself up and go out and find HaKadosh Baruch Hu? See, Rabbi Osei, what the Rebbe is highlighting over here is that sometimes in life, we get very comfortable in the construct we build ourselves. This is my comfort zone. The problem is, sometimes I haven't found God in my comfort zone. I haven't found God in the construct that I've created for myself. So what do I do? So what I need to do is I need to pack up my stuff, metaphorically, move forward and search out God. Because as Aye Makom Kivodo, I have to go find Him. But I will say, so often in life we're scared to pack up the Mishkan. And we're scared to take the journey to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because I will say, sometimes I have to admit to myself what? The life I've built for myself, the construct I've created, it's just not working. It's just not working. I don't feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it. I don't feel spiritually alive in it. So what do I do? So sometimes most of us just stop thinking about it. We just put it out of our mind. We just stop thinking about it. The Rebbe says, pack up your Mishkan. Pack up your Mishkan. Go on the journey and move yourself forward. Do you want to know why the Torah Kedosha spends so much time? We'll say, this is the $1 million question. So much time on the Mishkan. Mamish, every piece of material used, every piece of gold, of silver, everything. Mamish, to the last amma, to the last cubit. Why all of this information? Why all this information? Elamai? Because the Mishkan is life, and life is the Mishkan. And it's all about finding the courage that if you can't feel God, and if you haven't found God, find the courage to pack up your Mishkan and keep searching Him out. Because sometimes what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants more than for us to find Him is for us to look for Him. Sometimes Rabbi said the greatest moments in life is not when you go out and you find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's when you're engaged in the search. When you know that you're looking for your Father and your Father knows that you're looking for Him. In that moment when you pack up your Mishkan and you search for something greater in your life, sometimes those are the greatest moments of Aliyah. Shkoyach.
On the other hand, like Kedusha always does with Mikoyma, like every step of the journey, it's like, especially in your heart.
100%. It's the same way.
This is where you grew in this way, this is where you learned in that way.
100%. And I think even more, remember, the great anomaly in all of this is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. You see, like in this idea of, I can't feel God here, so I have to go search Him out. I know He's here. Right? There's something in me that... Right?
Correct.
So this, I know He's here, there's something in me that needs the journey. So it's absolutely, meaning there's Kiddush in every makom, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every makom, but sometimes the Kiddusha of this makom is not enough for me. It doesn't talk to me. It doesn't. I'm sorry.
How do you know when to cut your losses?
Never cut your losses.
No, but like.
Oh, wait, how do you know when to pack up?
Yeah, maybe I'm just being lazy.
Right. Oh, so that's an excellent question. I mean, how do you know when to pack up your Mishkan versus when to go ahead and just try harder?
Is there a difference? I mean, trying harder.
Right. So two answers. So first of all, number one, I would say that's an excellent point that moving on. That lav dafka means actually packing up the Mishkan and going somewhere else. It could be repurposing yourself and repurposing your life in the same exact place, doing things differently. To bolster that, by the way, you know, we always have this idea of the Mishkan being like this constant movement. Rashi and Devarim points out they moved like a total of 11 times over the course of 40 years. So even this quote-unquote mobile space was relatively stationary over the course of 4 decades. Right? I think it might be a little more. Rashi points out in the beginning of Devarim.
So was
it 42? Was it 42?
That's still comparable. I mean,
was it 42?
Once a year.
Yeah, once 40, a year. Once a year.
Because they stayed in one place for 19 years.
Wow. Right, and then they moved
around. They moved a lot.
Right, of course they moved 11, because right, it's the beginning of Devarim. It's the beginning of Devarim. Right, V'lavan, V'chatzeros, V'dizahab, it's all the places. The point is, it wasn't this makom that was being folded up every 5 days and being moved. It wasn't like your... Who makes the camping equipment?
What's Coleman?
Coleman, right? It wasn't your Coleman. It wasn't your Coleman tent, right? That you were going ahead and folding up and moving forward. So, I think this is an incredible yusuf. I'm sorry.
It was always ready to move.
And I think to bolster this point, the godless is sometimes in life you pack up your Mishkan without changing your geographic or situational reality one bit. You just change your orientation. You change your mindset. You change your kavanas. You change your approach. And that in and of itself is a packing up and a movement of the Mishkan.
So this would be a perfect example of an element of getting, trying to get closer to
Hashem. Absolutely. And what the Rebbe says is, that's what all of life is about. And all of life is dveikus. This is the David HaMelech. Achos sha'alti me'eis Hashem osa avakish shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai. I have one request. One request, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to dwell in your house. which means I want a consistent and constant closeness to you. That's all I want. You know, so the Malbim, I've said this before, the Malbim asks on this, he says, David, that's the only thing you want? Dveikus, the only thing you want is to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What about health? What about parnasa? What about all the other things that we daven for in life? So the Malbim says something amazing. He says, David HaMelechnu, if you have Dveikus, if you have closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have everything. Doesn't mean everything falls into place easily. But when you have a relationship with the divine, somehow, some way, everything else works out. And just going back, now you understand the Rebbe's lashon, right? When the Rebbe says ki hamishkan hu bechinas hakidusha hagavoa, right? The mishkan mamish the highest kedusha. Really, mishkan the highest kedusha? Let's say, how long the Mishkan stands for? 400 years, 500 years in total? Right? It's like a blip on the radar of Jewish history. It's the Kedusha Gavoa. It is. Because the Mishkan taught us the lesson for life that we live until this very day. That life is about Aye. Life is about searching God out. And life is about finding the courage to live differently, move differently, approach differently. If you can't find God where you are and in what you're doing, find the courage to pack up your Mishkan and search it out.
But Hashem also had to give us the detail of the Mishkan so we could build a Mikdash Ma'at. So we wouldn't know how to build it here.
It's 100%.
The Argamon is the house. So he's putting in through a Mikdash Ma'at.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Beautiful. Say that once more.